I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Five eighteen on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ella, Gwynn and Chris, we are here live, Lexus of Escondido at the center.
That sounds like a little combination of Kendrick Lamar and Steely Dan there.
Oh, okay. I can see that. Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's definitely not, but it could be. It could be for sure.
We did our countdown yesterday on our favorite music acts, and it was pretty comical to me how different we were.
Yeah, I mean, but that was like our first top five where it was completely different.
Completely different.
Usually we have one, two, three, sometimes all exactly the same.
That's true.
So, you know, we've been talking NCAA basketball. We're going to set that aside for a second and talk some Padre baseball and baseball in general. Joining us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline is Kyle Glazer of Baseball America. Kyle, how are you doing today?
Doing all right. Just excited for the season. We're only 6 days away from opening day.
My partner has really wrote a terrific blog on our website, 97.3thefansd.com, about how right-handed this Padre lineup looks to be. Do you think that that's going to be a problem, or do you think that the Padres may address this before this season gets started? I mean, we're about a week away.
You know, they have some left-handed options they can mix and match in. I mean, obviously Eric Hosmer is left-handed starting first baseman, but you have Franchy Cordero, you have Francisco Mejia, they pick Greg Garcia up. I mean, they have some left-handed bats they can mix in. I think for the Padres right now, look, this is a team that had the worst on-base percentage in the major leagues last year. They scored the third fewest runs in all of baseball. They need to focus on just getting good quality hitters, you know, in their lineup before focusing a little too much on, you know, oh, are they right-handed, left-handed? I mean, obviously, lineup balance affects performance to a degree, but at the end of the day, what the Padres have had has been a little bit of a shortage of talent and ability to execute. I think addressing that first and foremost is more important, and I think they've done that. You know, you look at this lineup now, you potentially, you know, you obviously adding Manny Machado, potentially getting a full year from Luis Urias, bringing in Ian Kinsler, you know Fernando Tatis is coming up, Renfroe and Hedges made strides last year. I think we'll see this offense be better, and there's enough left-handed options to mix in there to make it viable.
Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, joining us, talking a little Padre baseball, talking a little Major League Baseball on this Friday afternoon on 97.3 The Fan. Kyle, realistically, I mean, I think we're a little too close to the situation sometimes here in San Diego, and Tony and I were in Peoria with the team a couple weeks ago, and I mean, everybody's excited, everybody's talking big, everybody really thinks this is a big, huge turnaround season, and the vibe in camp is great, but realistically, from the outside looking in, what should fans hope for this season from the Padres?
Well, we at Baseball America picked the Padres to finish third in the National League West, so we do think there will be a step forward this year. Now, some of that is kind of independent of them. The Diamondbacks, you know, lost Patrick Corbin and A.J. Pollock in free agency. They traded Paul Goldschmidt. They're kind of resetting a little bit. The Giants are still in a weird place with a bunch of veterans and not enough young guys coming up to supplement them, so they don't look to be particularly competitive. So the Padres should be better this year, both in terms of performance and standings. The pitching is going to be the key. Look, this is not a playoff contender yet. This is a team that's taking the right steps forward. We saw, again, Joey Lucchese and Eric Lauer. They'll be in there for year two. There's, you know, Matt Strom's an interesting arm. We'll see if he can stay healthy. Chris Paddock is going to be, you know, his innings are going to be managed this year, but he's taken some steps forward. There's enough for this team to look. They've finished with 66 wins last year, and it was their worst record of their entire stretch of losing seasons dating back to 2011. I don't think that'll happen again. You'll see a step forward into that 77-78 win range. you know, maybe they catch a break or two, they might be able to finish 500. And that's the right step forward for them to take. And I think that's realistic. You know, third place, you know, maybe that's 81 and 81, and that would be a very positive step. But I wouldn't expect too much beyond that.
Yeah, I totally agree, Kyle. I've been trying to convince everybody that a plus 15 from 2018 to 2019 is a tall task. It can be done. Like you said, there are some teams that are down in the West. I want to talk to you a little bit about your tweet. I saw it come up a few days ago. Ichiro Suzuki obviously retired after his ball club went to Japan and got two victories against the Oakland Athletics. But you put in your tweet that Ichiro was compared to only two players in the initial scouting reports. That was Wade Boggs and my father. What were some of those similarities in that scouting report?
Yeah, so I want to, you know, put out there, this scouting report was written by the staff of Baseball America in the winter of 2000. I was 12 years old, so I cannot take any credit for any of this. But
right.
Yeah, just looking back in the archives, it's pretty impressive just how prescient that scouting report was. You know, you remember at the time when he came into camp with the Mariners, he was the first Japanese position player had ever been signed by a major league team. At the time he signed, there were a lot of stereotypes about Japanese hitters aren't good enough, they're not physical enough, you know, they don't face good enough pitchers.
Contact guys.
He was a trailblazer in a lot of ways, and there were some people saying, you know, he might hit 270, 280, but look at the report. It's talking about just the ability to use the entire field, rarely strikes out. You know, the scouts who had actually watched him in Japan and didn't just, you know, fall back on stereotypes said, and we have it in the report, quote, some scouts believe he'll contend for the American League batting crown right away. Mm. You know, lo and behold, he comes out as rookie year and wins and rookie of the year, wins MVP, and is on his way to, you know, winning a couple of batting titles in his career. You know, and there was a sense he had the ability to play center field. It was just Mike Cameron was out there, and you're not going to move Mike Cameron off of center field. So they put him in right, and right away he started, you know, he hit 321 that spring in camp, won the opening day right field job, hit in the leadoff spot in his first major league game, and went 2-for-5 and was off and running. But it was impressive, again, just seeing that there was a sense that he could be that all fields, you know, hit a pitch in any part of the zone, set pitchers up like your father and like Wade Boggs. And he lived up to it. We at Baseball America now have a rule. We try not to compare any prospect to a Hall of Famer. Yeah. It takes some cojones to do that. And the staff at BA in 2000 did that, and they were right on.
Yeah, they got that one right. Kyle Glazer from Baseball America is with us. All right, so what's the Baseball America scouting report on Fernando Tatis Jr.? And I'm not expecting you to compare him to any Hall of Famers, but I think there's some people in San Diego are expecting him to become a Hall of Famer based on all of the hype surrounding this young guy.
Yeah, well, this one I can take credit for because I've written the scouting report on Fernando Tatis for Baseball America each of the last 3 years. Look, what you can expect is someone who's going to make an impact in the game in a lot of different ways. He's, you know, really improved his body composition. He was never out of shape or anything. He was just a bigger guy, and you want to keep everything, you know, kind of tight in there. And he did that. He's a plus runner. I mean, he stole, you know, 20 bases and hit 20 home runs in the Midwest League. He was on pace for it to do that again at Double A last year before he had that broken thumb and had season-ending surgery. You know, in his early part of his career, you know, a 2020 season, you know, with a really strong shortstop defense, a cannon for an arm, he'll make some pretty impressive plays at shortstop that'll end up on, you know, on SportsCenter and an MLB Network. The real question is just going to be the ability to make contact. You'll see some scouts who think that, you know, just the way his swing works, it's very rhythmic. There's a lot of moving parts. You know, even in spring training, there's that breaking ball at the knees on the outside corner, he still tends to swing over it, and you know, big league pitchers are going to attack that hole. So some people think he's really going to be more a 250-ish hitter. Others are more optimistic and think he might get to 270. I mean, this is not a future batting champion, but if you have even an everyday shortstop, you know, hitting 270 with 20-plus home runs, 20-plus stolen bases, and making highlight reel plays at shortstop, that's a pretty good player, and one you can see as he matures further. Maybe that becomes 30 home runs as he gets stronger, and you know, now you're talking about a Manny Machado-esque player, which is something special.
Yeah, those guys don't grow on trees, and I could tell you that this Padre organization is very excited about Fernando Tatis Jr. Kyle, as always, man, we appreciate your time, and we'll talk soon again.
Absolutely. Happy to join anytime.
Good stuff, Kyle. Thank you very much.
That's Kyle Glazer. That was Kyle Glazer on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Save with a high-yield certificate account from SDCCU. For details, visit SDCCU.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.